Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Broadcasting live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, this would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Been a minute. Been basically a week. It's good to be back with you guys. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. This is a recorded Jeff Cameron Show, as in a couple hours before we would normally go on, is when we got together this morning. Spring break's been good. Time off. Tom's sick as a dog, but he's a warrior. He's here with me now. But we had, you know, a reason to get together. A, let's ease back into JCS content, as next week is going to be busy. And we've got the return of FSU football. And obviously we'll have a chance on Monday to talk also about Florida State's baseball team, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Tom, undefeated currently. Undefeated is the FSU baseball team currently. They have not lost a game, any game, at any point this year. And that includes most recently to the University of Florida in Gainesville.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think they're five more wins away from being ranked in D1 baseball's top 25. So if you could pick up a sweep this weekend against Notre Dame, that leaves two more. I think their rule is 20-0 to get ranked in the top 25. If you're Florida State specifically, they do have other ACC schools in the top 25. Apologies in advance for my voice. I've been cognitively capable all week. You might have seen me a lot on the boards and on the website. Broadcast level, you know it, brother. It's a little bit different.
Oh, very different. Yeah.
But I took in every bit of Knowles Sports I could this week, as one normally does, but like with great vigor and passion, because we weren't able to get together. So where was my Knowles outlet? And that game on Tuesday showed me two things. One, the bats. The bats are going to be there against anybody, because those are live arms, even if they're midweek arms for Florida. And then the resilience. Florida chin-checked Florida State in a situation in the fourth inning where three pitches run in, you score five runs, and you're thinking, boy, this has been a house of horrors. I know it's a different roster, but do they feel any of those demons? And the answer was hell to the gnaw. So good stuff, Knowles.
Yeah, came back with three runs of their own right after that to extend it to 10-5, and that was your ball game. I mean, I really thought the game was over at that point when they responded with those three runs. And baseball's a funny game. It's not like football. Where you can physically match that chin check and come back with some tough play of your own. Baseball isn't that sport. You've got to have really smart, good ABs, and you got to piece them together to score three runs. And Florida State did that. And then that's a level of intensity and focus and toughness, mental toughness, that I think is reason to get excited. You're right. I mean, it's a singular win. You beat your rival 12-8. Well, you know, that's fine. But it's a big deal for this team this year, I think. Look, Florida's not very good. Let's be honest right now. It's weird. Sullivan does not like his pitching staff. It's pretty clear that that's a guy who's a little frustrated. He's a horse's ass anyhow. And this is one of these guys that you marvel that anybody would go play for that guy, knowing what we know about him. And I'm not bashful about bashing this man. He's a despicable human being. So I don't care. I mean, this could go to him and his fans and all that. I mean, this is a bad person. But anyhow, he's done a very good job of recruiting at Florida, and they've had loaded teams. And so to see them struggle a little bit is kind of odd. I don't know. Maybe they'll get it together. But for Florida State, this has been, as you said, a house of horrors. It's been a rivalry that has been terribly lopsided. In fact, Tom, if we go back and talk about this, and it's fun to reflect because I think we've come out of it now. We're on the other side. And I don't think Florida State's going to be bad at baseball anytime soon. Remember, years ago, you and I, probably after a stretch of like 10 games against Florida over the course of 4 years or so, or whatever it was, somewhere in there, we were like, we were at our wits' end. It was emblematic of where the baseball program was headed. And these were two ships passing in the night. And Florida State was headed to a disaster, you know, a waterfall, if you will, or something. And Florida was ascending to the top of the sport. And it was really hard for us to wrap our heads around, because for the bulk of these two programs' existence, Florida State has been the superior program. Now, I know that Florida has won a national championship, and it eats at us. Of course, it's frustrating to see that happen. The reason it's frustrating is, for the better part of 40 years, Florida State was pretty close to the standard. I mean, LSU and Texas would take exception to that statement. Fair enough. But Florida State was in the conversation as the most consistent and elite baseball program in America. They were missing one thing, which was the national championship, but they won everything else, and they did so with great consistency. Florida was an afterthought. They were just whatever. Miami was always our greatest rival in baseball. Miami had a ton of success. Miami's won national championships, and so that was the rivalry. When Florida began to dominate us, and we were looking at the quality of the recruits at Florida and the quality of the arms at Florida, one after the other, you and I were like, oh, well, this is it. It's over. I mean, outside of that run in which we went to Baton Rouge and won against LSU and then went to the College World Series inexplicably, baseball being baseball, because that was not a good Florida State team that went to the College World Series, we really have been on the wrong end of this. So I think it was a symbol, perhaps a larger shift is at hand here.
Let's hope so. The question would be, if we found a couple of diamonds in the rough, are we able to retain them year over year? Are we able to continue to accrue talent? The recruiting is there. The development is there. Like, I'm not ready to do something to your Cheerios the moment that we're ready to smile as a baseball fan here in Tallahassee. I'm just saying, if you're talking about programs passing each other, there are a couple of other macro factors that we need to take a look at and see what happens. But what I did like was, for the first time in basically 10 years, you're smiling for a midweek win in Gainesville. We did beat them in the COVID season, which I think rose up and bit meat in the ass, because that team might have been pretty good in 2020 before the world shut down 3 years ago, almost to the day now.
Wow.
Then, you know, Ira and I were discussing, he was on vacation, but ever the intrepid reporter, he was like, do you have a 2013? I'm like, well, outside of 20. Regular season victories, basically there are none in the last 10 years except for the COVID season. There was one good moment in the Supers when Drew Carlton pitched one of the great games in Florida State postseason history against a loaded Florida lineup. Other than that, you've got no happy memories in Gainesville until Tuesday. And it looks sustainable. That's the thing. Florida State looked the part of a better baseball team than Florida did on Tuesday. It wasn't baseball being baseball, and that was our big long overture for 6-7 years, was you could beat them because of the sport.
Yeah, the sport, yeah.
But you couldn't beat them in a weekend series if we played three in a row. You just wouldn't do it. So no. It's nice to see that the bats do what they do. And then some of these young pitchers, their stuff, dude. I mean,
they got real stuff.
I'm watching a lot of spring training baseball up here. It's great that I get two networks that give me a lot of innings, a lot of pitches. The stuff, especially the breaking stuff that a lot of these younger kids have, looks like what I'm watching in spring training. Now it's just a matter of getting the sequencing, the conditioning, the consistency. But they brought a whole lot of stuff in here year over year, the staff did. Good job to Link and Posey for doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say, listen, the changes to the coaching staff have been significant. Posey was a hire that a lot of people were very excited about. He's a known commodity, a Tallahassee guy that people really knew. And you know, I found it curious over the last several years when I would look at baseball programs in rankings as we got later in the year. I mean, Dallas Baptist was always in the top 10. I'm like, why is Dallas Baptist any good? What are we doing? This is a crazy sport. Well, Posey was there. And, you know, this was a program of significance. So I think it was a good hire. I think this is a reputational thing where our pitchers are going to want to come to play for him. And Link is a very serious person. You know, one thing I liked, and I've liked right from the get-go, it's a phrase I use often when I see people do really dumb things or say really dumb things, politicians in particular. They're like actors, right? A lot of the politicians on social media these days are actors. They're playing a part. It's a playbook. I mean, they just say the same things over and over again to try to get reelected and to curry favor. And you just roll your eyes because nobody's actually legislating. They're just playing a part. I feel like when you see people like that, you say, these aren't serious people. These aren't real people. These aren't serious people. Link Jarrett is a very serious person. I mean, as in he takes every step along the way in this program as being very, very important. Like he does, it's an attention to detail. It's purposeful. It's thought out. Look, he's in year two after a disastrous year one. But we're commenting on what we've seen, what we've talked to him about, what we're witnessing now. And it tells you that this was the guy that won a lot of coaching awards at various stops along the way. You know, you just realize that the team last year, that was not a byproduct of him not being the guy. It was the inheritance of a messed up program. And it's hard to turn it around this quickly. Now, they may lose in a regional this year. They may be a 3 seed. Who knows? But, Tom, they're 15-0, and they're significantly better. And you know it, and I know it. We're watching this team. If you look up and down this roster, they have ballplayers. They got tough dudes who have good at-bats. These are really good ABs. You talk about pitching, and you're right to talk about pitching because the stuff is there for a lot of these guys. You got some frontline guys you feel good about. We'll see. I'm still a little worried about the bullpen long-term. But these are great ABs. These are smart hitters.
No, they are. And I'll quickly to the bullpen. I think if a couple of these freshmen grow more comfortable in these situations, which is why I think Link set it up to where you'd have a lot of pitches from younger players outside of Dorsey. Like once Dorsey settled down, he gave up the granny. It's one bad pitch in a bad spot. Hate to have it. Yep. But he didn't load the bases, you know, so it was one bad pitch. Then he gives up a single and he retires 8 in a row. Like once he settles it down, you can give Charles a shot at it. You can give Rowan a look. I love what I saw from Abraham this past weekend. Like if those young players settle down emotionally and can meet the moment, your bullpen's going to be fine. But that's a big if because it's part of their development. They're going to have some ups and downs. Mm-hmm. To the lineup, though, yeah, like Lodice was one of your best hitters on Tuesday. He was under the Mendoza line for most of the first month of the season, into the second month of the season. Great at bats, powerful shot down the right field line that's just foul, and then he hits one to the wall in center field in the very next pitch. That's, you talk about mental toughness. It's not, oh, that was my chance. It was like, all right, let's lock back in. Let's go. And then Faroe has been very good of late as well. I'm you know, avoiding talking about the main guys because we know the main guys. When you are going to lengthen a lineup, and you're going to have a situation where you can get the bags loaded, not come away with a run, and still score 12. Like, if you're going to have a lineup like that, it's dudes like Faroe and Lodice and whoever's catching on a given night that are going to lengthen your lineup and put it in a position where you can do that, where it's not just for the other team so long. We had some good hitters here in the dry spell, but it was like once you clear the four hole in the lineup, you could tell the other roster is like, whew, okay, we got an inning to settle down. You don't anymore. Not with this group. It's just very impressive to see those two programs on the field together because Florida has a lot of talent. A lot of those kids are going to get drafted. They're a mess right now, I think, a little bit mentally. They're a little out of sorts. But when you compare the rosters athlete for athlete on the field in a situation like Tuesday, we look more the part than we have in a long time. And that reminds me so much of the transition in the Mike Norvell era. Football, it's more necessary. Baseball, sometimes it could be more of a luxury. But it's nice to see, like when Florida State football did it, more and more athletes that make Jermaine Johnson not stick out like a sore thumb run out onto the practice fields and run out onto the fields on the Sunday. The baseball program has done that pretty quickly. You got a lot of large dudes with a lot of tools out there already.
Hard to win baseball games. If you're 15-0, you're doing a lot of things very well. You're a complete team. You don't accidentally, there's only two undefeated teams in the country. We're one of them. Baseball is a game where every week a top tier team loses a midweek game. We know how this works. I mean, it's the lesser program's opportunity to pad a resume and get some real bonus points for the end of the year discussion about making a regional. So they throw their best arms typically. They're going to give everything they got to beat you. It's important for Jacksonville to beat Florida State. It's important for USF. It's important for any of these schools, the North Floridas and the Mercers and these programs that you play. They have to try to win some of these games. And typically it's an opportunity for you to kind of explore your roster and explore your pitching staff and explore your bullpen and see what you got. Florida State's taking those games seriously, yes, but they've played a lot of guys. They've played a lot of guys. They've given a lot of guys looks. They've emptied the bench several times this year. And by the way, a lot of the guys that they bring in are guys that have really made the most of their opportunities too, who are begging to start. You know, Williams and others. And these kids, they can play.
No, there's depth. This is, I guess what we're learning is in baseball, you can flip your roster faster than football. Like, it's more possible. Because, again, you don't have to be 21, 22 years old and 275 pounds, to be able to play on the line. Like, you can be a younger player and still handle business okay in baseball because it's not quite as contact oriented as football is. But yeah, again, just to see those two programs look the way they did, and then for Link to make the decision to not pitch Whitaker on Tuesday, I thought was an interesting message to send to the roster, to send that he's fine. Yeah. He's okay with, because Whitaker had been moved to the midweek because of the rainout the first weekend of the season. Link had expressed that we've got to get him back in the weekend rotation. But if you've come this far to the week where you play Florida on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Ranked in the top 10 with five losses as they were by D1 baseball. Like, here's a real opportunity to pay it off. Hey, since we're here, we might as well, kind of energy. And he said no. He said no to that. Let's put out Armstrong. We're going to run him out there as an opener. Little dicey in the beginning, but we got out of it. Nice play by James Tibbs and Wright. He gets through the three innings, and then you're on your way. Like, I found that to be early in this season, which I think he's trying to bolster confidence. I found that to be a risky decision, but it tells me that he won't go on the record and say it, but Link feels pretty good about what he's got to not throw Whitaker in that spot on a Tuesday.
And you may hear my dog bark in about 2 seconds as we're doing the show from the house today. And there is a woman who's refusing to keep it moving outside with her dog. And there you go. All of the glimpses of what it's like to record a pod for the radio. Good girl. There you go. She kept it together, everybody. She kept it together. I thought it was curious, Tom, because, and I'm glad he did it. At some point, he was going to have to do it, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You were going to get Whitaker back in the rotation. But what I thought was interesting is that he kind of hinted to us, without saying it, that, it was kind of a blessing. That they were able to have a guy on a Tuesday because of the series of games you were playing against good teams.
No, he outright said that, which I thought was interesting. He was willing to admit that these are better clubs that we're playing.
Yeah, we were playing better teams on Tuesdays than we were playing on the weekend.
And then Notre Dame got swept by Virginia Tech last week, if I'm not mistaken. So you have that information, and you're looking at it, and you could say, all right, one more week, and then for the Gulf Coast game in a week, or Stetson, I think we're playing next Tuesday.
For the
Stetson game at home, that's when we'll make the switch. And he's like, No, let's do it now.
Let's bite the bullet right now, and then
throw Dorsey and Dorsey's an arm, but still that sends a message to me. If I'm a pitcher on that staff, if I'm Whitaker, if I'm in that lineup, I'm like, okay, all right. Coach said the hell with this, and they
By the way, For people who are just now kind of coming around, basketball season's over. Florida State, I know we're about to enter March Madness, and everybody will be excited to watch the tournament, of which we will not be a part. We got thoroughly shellacked yesterday by North Carolina in a game that was never really competitive. And shame on that Florida State basketball team. And that's the first time I've said that this year. Shame on them. There was that effort yesterday was putrid. It was an embarrassment. They did not try. I have a problem with that. I watched the game. They didn't fight for rebounds. They're not as good as North Carolina. They weren't going to beat North Carolina. Fine. It's a matchup problem. You got to play hard. I don't understand it. You beat Virginia Tech. You play the game that you played, and then you come out listless. I'll get that. That's an aside. But what I wanted to say was, for those of you who are turning the page and now coming over to baseball and going to lock in on baseball, you've got a very thorough discussion in the opening segment of the show today about this baseball team. Please understand that you have two professional hitters, two Major League Baseball players on this roster, bare minimum.
Yeah.
And try to watch them as much as you can, because what you have at third base right now is a freak of a player. This is an elite athlete. This is a big, strong man who can run like the wind blows, whose defense has improved immensely.
Whoa.
Immensely. Tom, he's a player over there at third right now.
There was a play on Tuesday, much like when we were taking in the game, but different stakes when you're playing.
When he charged in?
I mean, it's a soft two hopper, and you've got to charge in, and your mechanics, especially if you're going to go glove to hand, not barehanded, you go glove to hand, you have to be so sharp and on point. The mechanics have to be efficient.
Rocket right there.
Wow, Cam has been so much better in the field this year. And yes, they're major league bats. I'll let you expound on that. I am not talking about him and Tibbs, because they're the constants. You know, it's just nice to see all this other stuff around there, but they're hell to deal with at the top of the lineup.
Well, you got a problem there. Like, I mean, listen, and the thing is, again, you've got a righty lefty situation, and it's so fun to watch when you pitch around guys. You got bats in this lineup that are going to make you pay. And obviously those two players are very, very good. What Tibbs is doing, obviously the numbers for power speak for themselves, but man, Cam is different. And he's playing with such confidence, and he hits the ball really hard to all fields.
And on top of all of that, which we haven't talked about, and we did a lot when we were slumping, when we were down as a program, the base running's good. The base running helped you get out to the 4-0 lead. The base running leads to a Chuck Knobloch level error at second base. What an awful boot that was by a
forward. It player. Turned out to be very costly.
You score two runs there because you tag up, you take the extra base. You know, if you go second to third in a situation, I'm not going to, you know, do backflips. But where that throw is coming from, you have to be alert to be the trail runner at first to get from first to second.
Yes.
These are little details. The Faro hustle double turns into a run the next inning. Like, okay, all right. Fundamentals, baby.
Well, they're having fun playing the game. Listen, you can call it overkill. I'm always very aware. I try to hear myself. I get that you might be like, guys, no, they're 15-0, everybody. They haven't lost a game. It's not normal. It's not normal. This has been extraordinary.
And look, they can slump. They're going to.
They will. It's baseball.
But it's just the reason you hear what you hear in our voices is because the basics that we see, we have not seen since I was in probably my early 30s or late 20s. So I'm 37, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a minute, Tom. It has. What's funny, and we'll put a ribbon on this and move forward. And we do have to talk about basketball temporarily, very briefly. We'll get to some football here shortly too. I think the reason that I get excited in this situation is to see it now reminds you of how absent it's been. You know, you just said it basically when you talk about base running. To see him pick up the baseball, to see him throw strikes, to see him, you know, they don't. Last year, when you watched games, you watched a lot of three possible outcome baseball, right? You know, I mean, a lot of strikeouts, a little bit of power, and a whole, you know, it was brutal. And this team picks up the baseball. They run the bases well. They have really good at-bats. They're not over here excessively striking out. I mean, it's impressive.
So I was there. You've been around this program for many...
A long time.
Seminal moments. I know that's an often used pun, but like big moments in program history. Covered it, either been in the stands, whatever. Mm-hmm. I had the unfortunate luck, but in a way I feel appreciative because you document the times.
You were at Auburn?
For the very end of it.
Yeah.
And I was aghast at what I heard down the first baseline sitting with the families. And I'm not naming what family said what, and I wasn't sowing the seeds of discontent disorder. Yeah. All I was one big ear listening to what people were saying about the situations, the culture, the lack of consistency. It was more than a mom or a dad protecting their kid. It was a lot of commiserating about what is going wrong while the team is still alive in a regional and they'd already won their first game. And so there's a chance for them to do some damage, man. What a difference it is from that place, which was so dysfunctional top to bottom, just from the family's perspective now to where they are. It is night and day. It is worth documenting, and I don't know. I'm not going to put a limit on these guys right now. Not with those bats. Not with that lineup. The pitching, we'll see. But with that lineup, they're going to win a lot of ball games.
Yeah, I was looking at Nolan. Warren Nolan, is that right? Is that the website?
Could be.
It's one of these sites. They do baseball. They do basketball. But they'll project, based on the numbers, records. He has Florida State finishing 45-10.
It could happen.
At this point, yes, it could very well happen. It's yes, it could, Tom. And I just wanted that to wash over us for a second. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hello there, podcasters. Oh, don't worry. I won't prattle on for 2 minutes like I do with some of the other reads. Zaxby's doesn't demand it of me. Zaxby's like, look, just tell everybody that we have the best chicken sandwich in all the land. That's easy. I can do that. I can attest to that. A delicious, thick, juicy, tasty Zaxby's chicken sandwich is where it's at. Of course, the strips are a given. You like the strips. We get the strips on game days.
The platters are lifesavers. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a party, a pool party, say, this summer, and what do I bring? Just bring a
beer,
giant thing, no,
and Zaxby's.
Worry about the beer. You bring the Zaxby's, you're going to be the hero. Just make sure you get all the sauces, too. They've got like 97 sauces, and they're all delicious.
I don't know if you guys know this. There are 27 Zaxby's in Tallahassee alone. 27. You can't miss them. I think that's true in general in every city in America.
They're like peach trees in Atlanta.
They're everywhere. Look around, find you a Zaxby's, and get after it. By the way, your Tallahassee Zaxby's, a proud Golden Chief booster for 18 years. Go Noles.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Yeah, so this is going to be fun coming up on Monday for football. We'll be out there with the luncheon. I'll be there, of course, Tom, talking to the coaches and get to hear Mike's address. And then obviously we got practices starting next week. So welcome back, spring football. It's the nice little taste. But this time around, it's going to be fascinating because of the intense competitions. I want to get to that this segment before we do. Interesting that I heard a conversation on CBS Sports and a couple of different places about whether or not Leonard Hamilton is back next year for Florida State basketball. It's the first open discussion I've heard amongst analysts talking about the possibility that Leonard will not be back at Florida State next year. Now, that's interesting to me because that sounds like a conversation, Tom, that was spurred by a conversation that somebody may have had with him. And I'm speculating here, but I'm telling you that this, if that's true, if that happens, it is not what we suggested, because I don't think Florida State's in a position to fire Coach Hamilton. And I don't think they will fire Coach Hamilton. I think he is free to come back next year if he'd like. That's my belief. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're in a position financially. I don't think they're in a position organizationally to make that move just yet. I think they'd rather wait until Florida State is out of the ACC and knows where they're going to be long term. It's much easier to sit down and interview coaches about the possibilities of a future when you know what that is, where you're going to be. I think it's much easier to organize the collective and to organize all financial efforts moving forward once you're out from under this lawsuit and you've built the facilities that you're building with the stadium over there and indoor practice. I mean, not indoor, the football-only facility and all that. I think then you move on if that's what you want to do. So to me, this was probably sparked by Ham's inner thoughts. And I have not spoken to Leonard recently, so I am not hinting at anything here. People know that I have a good relationship with Leonard Hamilton. I love Coach. I think he's a great guy, and he's done a lot of great things here at Florida State. Multi-time Coach of the Year in the conference, and for a long stretch there, Florida State was the second-best team in the ACC. This is all documented. But obviously the program is in a bad spot now. It's not good. You know, this is not acceptable to have back-to-back-to-back seasons of not making the NCAA tournament. So, you know, a lot of people are wondering what's going to happen. I think it's interesting that you had people on the desk, former players, not of Florida State, just former notable basketball players, college basketball players, wondering whether or not Leonard Hamilton is coming back. That means that he's had to give some serious thoughts about his place in the game. And I think if you're him, like a lot of older coaches, what's happened with NIL and what's happened with the transfer rules, it's just, it's tough. It's almost unfair to ask a 76-year-old man to ask any of these older coaches in either sport, college football or basketball, to try to reinvent themselves again. You know, one of the things that was stated, and this is unfortunate, Tom, because I do think it is a little bit at play here, and we've wanted to seek the balance where players get paid and they have certain freedoms that workers should have and all these things that we wanted to see change about college sports, but we also didn't anticipate this, where it's seemingly unregulated and it's kind of chaos. This has hurt the Leonard Hamiltons of the world because of the way he was able to create a culture and build a program around developing young men, emphasizing education, creating a program culture that was not based solely on what you could do for them financially. And now I think we've moved to a place where that is the catalyst for your program. Any program, what can you do? What can you offer players financially to come to play for your team? And I think it hurts the Leonard Hamiltons of the world significantly.
Yeah, I think there's a pinch point here. It's obvious. If you're talking about from the perspective of an athletic department, when Mike Norvell gets brought back and he chooses to come back and he gets a bump and you say, it is reported, not you say, but like, that football resources are at the heart of him coming back, not just a little salary bump, it's football resources. That's code. And we all know what that's code for. Mm-hmm. More money is being put into the football program. Now, you can fill in the blanks and where you think, it's like a Mad Lib, where you think that's going to go. Coaching resources, infrastructure, NIL, whatever it is. Maybe it's all the above. But we're at a pinch point right now where we don't know our future. We think we know, but we don't know what the immediate future is. More resources that they did not want to put into football are being put into football from the athletic department's perspective. Like, this is the concession of bringing back Mike Norvell. It's like, okay, Mike, So I've got to pull more resources from elsewhere and put it into football now because you've got us over a barrel, which I, again, at the time I said, good job, Mike's agent, because it's going to help FSU football. But that means there's less to go around. That means there's fewer resources to go around in the immediate because you don't have the windfall of the TV deals of the other conferences. So where does that pinch get felt? I think it's been felt in basketball. I think the NIL efforts of Florida State have hurt basketball specifically because they knew that there was a fire in the building that was the football program that they had to put out, and it's all hands on deck. And so now you're in a place where there's no cavalry coming. And for Leonard, what he said, I think that the problem is, and you know this, the cost to put together a top 10 roster in basketball is astronomical on a per player basis versus football. And it doesn't bring in more money for a program. Unless you're only a basketball athletic department, it really doesn't make a whole lot of financial sense to go get 17 and 18 year olds and pay them what NIL is demanding that they get paid. It's far too expensive. Like, if you thought about it, you know, four basketball players equals how many football players, right, in NIL?
Yeah.
Like, it's a factor of 8 or 10. Like, it's something absurd along those lines. So Leonard's miscalculation, and he said this himself, I'm not going on my own analysis here. He realized that he needed to be more portal dependent on veteran players. He said, that's where, you know, I didn't have that right. I should have gotten more veteran players out of the portal. And he landed one in Jameer Watkins. And if there's any pathway to doing anything next year, that redshirt junior has to come back. He's got to want to come back, and we got to find a way to bring him back. But I don't know that we're going to be able to do that. There's a lot of tough questions right now. And I agree with you. I don't think we're in a place where we just committed more and more resources to football.
Yeah.
That I don't know that the expendable income is there to make a move or bolster Leonard's program. I think it has to stay where it is until we find a new conference home.
It's unfortunate, and I've really never been at a place as a talk show host to where I feel like I'm in limbo discussing an opinion I have about a program. You know, I have always been someone who comes in and gives you my opinion, right or wrong, about the state of a program and tells you what I think is going to happen or what should happen or whatever. I mean, it's what I'm paid to do. I don't have the right answer for FSU basketball. I don't know what the answer is right now other than to wait. And it's the worst way to talk about a program. You're either winning or losing. You're either on the right path or you're not. You have the right guy or you don't. In most every case, this is true. I know the world's gray. It's not black and white. The world's gray. We understand there's nuance to most discussions and issues. But in sports, we kind of know what it's based around. And this isn't about the winning or the losing, because if it was about the winning or the losing, he'd be fired right now.
This is, well, you're a homeowner. I'm formerly one, I think. The paperwork's supposed to get done today.
Yeah.
It's like you could want new flooring or you could want to redo your kitchen.
Right? I want to redo a lot of things at my house, Tom.
Right. But if the air conditioning unit dies, which one's going to win? You know, right. It's like, that's great. That's great, hon. We wanted to put a pool in the back. I was all for it. Both of our air conditioning units are dead. Got zapped by a bolt of lightning. And
now it's 98.
And we're out of warranty.
Get the air working.
We're outside of warranty. We got to call Barano Heating and Air Conditioning here. We got to get it fixed.
Yeah.
The money's got to go there. And if you're an athletic director at Florida State in modern times where you've got to choose, the goal for us is to get to a place where you don't have to choose between sports. Correct. You have money to take care of all sports, but you've got to choose right now. As much as I've loved this program and thought that this program helped put a smile on our face when we were ass on the football field, and it did, there is no choice. The choice is football. It has to be. And I think that the next choice isn't even basketball. That's the other dirty discussion here, is the second choice isn't basketball. Even though it makes you more money, the university is very committed to softball. It is now, I think, going to find a renewed commitment to baseball, given what it's showing. It's committed to soccer. Like, damn it, man. You've got to make choices, unfortunately, when you don't have all of the resources to work with.
Now, they're in a pickle if he walks, by the way. That's the other side of this. Yeah. If he decides to call it a day and says, this is not the way I want to coach. This is not who I am. We've been better than this. I don't see a way out in the near future. It's been real, guys. Thanks for everything. And he retires? Well, this is not good, man. We're not in a position to go through an exhaustive search for an elite coach that you can turn things around.
No, the only way you have a an understanding with the new hire that you're not going to be held accountable for anything that happens these next couple few years.
That's terrible.
Guy doesn't want their reputation tarnished. So what you're looking at is an interim. Well, you're going to elevate somebody currently on staff to steer the ship into the, you know, it's a pickle.
It's not
a good tasting pickle.
No, this is a rotten pickle, Tom. This is a rotten pickle. And on that note, it's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
I watch the rain, it settle in, disappear for days again.
Well, given our extended discussion there about the rotten pickle, excuse me, that is our basketball situation. I realize we have 6 minutes left in the hour, and that's not what you do. Well played for those that are watching on video. Good job. So we're going to go all football next hour, pretty much all Florida State football next hour. Because I wanted to take a couple of minutes here, Tom, to get into the weighty debate of very privileged people, which was what we watched with Rory and Jordan Spieth and who was the third yesterday?
Victor Hovland. He's been in one of these before.
Yeah, Victor. That's right. It was Victor. So I laughed at what I saw yesterday, but I laughed harder at the media trying to cover it. Because if you go back and listen to the audio, it's really not contentious at all.
Yeah.
I think the opposite is true. Meaning the headlines read today that there is a dust up and a verbal spat between Victor Hovland, Jordan Spieth towards Rory McIlroy for a drop that they didn't like. As it turns out, when I went back and listened to the audio closely, I think they're trying to help him. I think that it sounds to me like Jordan is actually coming at it from the perspective of, I don't want you to get penalized for dropping somewhere you shouldn't. Like, are you sure it crossed here? Did it ever cross land? They're getting into the meat of the rules. And I know for you, and you know the rules exceptionally well, I was like, Tom probably likes this because he knows the rules. He probably enjoys this little discussion.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of these. In high school, high school players aren't so good. So red line hazards and flight path and whether it bounced, things like that comes into play a lot in high school.
Yeah. And I'll just say really quickly, Rory snap hooked a drive. It was at 18 or is it 7? Number 7.
No, 18.
18.
So 7, snap, so 7 is the one that you're talking about. 18, he did it, and I think people were a little miffed by the line he took on 18.
That one they were probably angrier at. The other one I think is fine. When you go back and look, I actually think he shortchanged himself by 10 yards. I don't think he did anything wrong with that one. I don't have a problem with that one. And I also don't think, for people that don't know, it went in the water, it hit land and went in the water. And he said it crossed, it was past the red line and they weren't sure that it was. And they were asking him, are you sure? They didn't have an opinion of their own. Like, neither Victor nor Jordan really had a definitive opinion. They weren't saying, we know for sure that it didn't or did.
I think Victor was more contentious. Jordan was just speaking to speak because that's what he does.
Right.
Because Jordan walks. So
he really, says folks, the TV people told folks, him it didn't.
Folks, this is like, it is a more egregious, larger example than like an official on the sidelines trying to spot a punt that goes out of bounds. Like, right. Where does it cross the line of play? Where am I going to spot this?
Nobody knows.
Multiply that distance by, you know, 150. You know, this, that's what these guys are trying to do. It's 300 yards away. They don't have camera evidence of where things happen. in this particular circumstance because they don't have the main broadcast on. They've just got a featured group following them. And hole seven's not an important hole in the grand scheme of Sawgrass. So that's what's going on. And they're all trying to figure out where it bounces. It's on the player himself, the golfer who hits the ball.
Right.
To be honest, in that situation, it is on the other two players to protect the field from this guy cheating. Now, that's why Jordan's commentary is effing worthless. He's like, well, I know this doesn't mean anything, but you can stop. You can shut up there.
Just stop when you say it doesn't mean anything because you know it doesn't.
He's walking 100 yards over to Rory to tell him something that they can't use when it comes to a ruling. Victor is being more contentious. Rory's trying to cut a deal, and that sounds nefarious, but he's just trying to say, look, if you think it's over here and I think it's over here, let's split the difference, which you cannot do. That's not cool. But it is the height of almost like those Gillette cricket commercials with Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
You know, we were like, oh my God, guys, get it together. Cause it takes 8 minutes. It takes 8 minutes for this to be resolved. And then Rory goes back and hits on the tee box anyway.
It's strange. I thought he dropped right where he needed to drop. I thought he shortchanged himself. He did.
So from the angle, now here's what happened. From the angle that we could see from the opposite side of the
ball hit above.
The ball bounces, you can see. It is physically impossible for the ball to come into our view if it didn't hit in play on the good side of inbounds.
Correct. Yes, it did. Yeah.
It's a dead issue. Now, yeah. Jordan was useless. Victor was a little contentious, and then they got it right. And Rory still ends up shooting 65 with a double in that situation.
He had two doubles yesterday, Tom. He had 10 birdies. Now, can you imagine? Good Lord. My man tied the record. This was the opposite of his final round at Bay Hill. This was the Rory that you want to see. This is the guy that's stalking hole to hole, you know, where you're like, oh, there's a bounce there. This is going to be a fun tournament. You got all the big names playing pretty well. We'll see if Jordan bounces back today. Victor, I don't think Victor will. He lost his game from the end of last year. It's bizarre.
He's making a mechanical change. Once it flips, bet him fast because he's going to shoot 63.
But here's the problem. Why did he do that? He was hitting the ball so well at the end of last year. Why would you do this? I do not understand this when players do this. It drives me nuts.
It's a good question. Now, you know the weather down there better than I do.
It's going to be fine today. It's perfect.
They're going to go low this weekend. There's nothing they can do to defend the course.
The greens will dry out, though. If it doesn't rain at all, the greens will get a little bit tougher. It did a little bit yesterday at the end of the day. By the way, last point on golf. You know how much I hate a tournament being dependent, the tournament winner being dependent on when your tee time is. I hate this. Now, I get, you know, early, late, early, all that stuff. But, you know, this is my complaint about the British Open. If you get caught in one of the swales, sorry, you can shoot 66 the other days, but you shot an 82 because it was a hurricane when we asked you to tee off, cost Tiger Woods a major. Anyhow, that said, TPC Sawgrass has a problem. 14 of the last 16 years, early, late, has won the tournament. If you go off early, as Rory did yesterday, you're going to score. The greens are damp, and they go right at it. They just all fire at pins.
Which is where he wins historically. He doesn't win on very many U.S. Open tracks. Even the U.S. Open he won was a soggy mess at Congressional.
Yeah, he ran away with it. when he does win, he runs away with with it. He can be really, really good. It's fascinating. I do think Sawgrass has a bit of a problem here. We've gone beyond this just being a weird occurrence. Like, basically, if you go off early, you've got a much better chance to win the tournament than if you tee off late on that opening day, unless there's a storm coming that we don't know about. Hour number two, let's get into some Florida State football. We'll do it next. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.